Here we are playing the Denver Broncos today, and he's got a Denver Broncos shirt on. Can you believe that? Did you notice that as Chip is leaving the building, I assume he doesn't want to hear me speak this morning, but did you notice that in all 75 pictures that we showed of Chip and his family, not one time did he have a tie on? And I figure if Chip can do it, that sure feels a lot better, doesn't it? I tell you. Thanks, Chip. I really do appreciate Chip and Lori. What a fantastic ability to share the faith that they have. And it's just a joy to work with them. And we meet together, of course, on a regular basis. And he's just a great asset to have around and a great encourager for me as the pastor. And I appreciate him very much. Today we're starting a new series, and one in which I'm just about as excited as any series I've ever preached in my life. It's called 40 Days of Love, and we have been chosen as one of the churches to be a pilot program for this. You will hear it on the market coming out next year. And when we start this 40 Days of Love, we want you to understand what we're talking about. Because the commandments of God that He has given to us, and is our scripture reading for this month, is that what's the greatest commandment? It is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is likened to the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's King James, and it's a little bit different here in the NIV. But what he's saying to us is we need to understand and know how to love God and love one another. And our Christian development, our Christian maturity hinges on our ability to learn to love God and learn to love one another in a healthy and wholesome way. It is so important that I would say to you that the quality of our life will be determined by the quality of love that we have for God and one another. And if we get that right, we will have a significant and meaningful experience. If we miss it, if we think that life is about some other things, if we think that life has different priorities, then we will spend many of our years wasting away on trivial pursuits and things that really don't have special significance. I'm going to be teaching and preaching through 1 Corinthians 13. And if you have the Bible with you, I'd like to ask that you open to that section. I'm going to read for you today in this first sermon the first three verses, and it's a sermon titled, Love Matters Most. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read it first in the NIV, and then after we read the NIV, I'm going to ask Mike to put up the New Living Translation, and we're going to read it in that. First in the NIV. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Mike, would you put up the New Living Translation for me? If I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth but didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I knew all the mysteries of the future and knew everything about everything, that's quite a bit, but didn't love others, what good would I be? And if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move without love, I would be no good to anybody. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. Thank you, Mike. You know, I have read that verse of Scripture, those three verses of Scripture, I can't tell you how many times, but literally probably hundreds of times. I read them over probably 50 times this week in preparing for this message today. But really not until this week did I catch it, did I get what he was talking about. Did you kind of hear those words? I know sometimes we kind of skim through that because we get to verse 4, which is the definition of love, which we'll start talking about next week. But did you hear what he said there? Listen to what he says in that verse. It's absolutely mind-boggling that Paul says this. What happens if we don't love? What happens? Verse 1 says, if we don't love, if we're without love, we're just a loud bag of wind, that's all. Now, he uses a little different words, but that's what he's saying. He says it doesn't mean anything. You may have the ability to mesmerize people with your words. You may be spellbounding in your speech. You may have linguistic ability to speak multiple languages. You may be able to convince someone of anything and to sell them anything that they have. You may have a silver tongue, but without love, no matter what you say, it's just a bunch of noise. Boy, that really hurts, doesn't it? And then he says in verse 2, without love, you're just an educated fool. He's saying to us, you may have the gift of prophecy. You may have knowledge of God. You may have mountain-moving faith. That's big stuff, my friends. And people might be in awe of you. In fact, he says in that one translation, you might know everything about everything. You have more degrees than a thermometer. And regardless of that, it says, if you don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. Wow. The third thing it says is, without love, I'm a generous nobody. It says, talk about being generous. You could give everything that you have to the poor. You could spend your days at the soup kitchen. You could give all the possessions that you have and give them away to someone. It says that the ultimate sacrifice, you could even give your body to be burned, or you could be willing to be a martyr. But it says if you don't have love, you gain nothing. A person who doesn't love produces nothing of value, is of himself no value, and receives nothing of value, according to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. And so he gives us a little equation here. He says life minus love equals zero. So it doesn't matter. You could have great knowledge. You could have great speech. You could have all kinds of things. But if you do not love, it doesn't matter. Now, the placement of this particular verse in Scripture, in the Bible, is very important. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth has multiple issues, multiple problems. He's trying to help them straighten them out. And in chapters 12 and chapter 14, he talks about spiritual gifts. And in those things, he says, now, once you come to know Christ, you have been given certain gifts of your life. And you need to use those gifts for the glory of God. But before you get too puffed up about it, before you think you're the end all to all things, before you think you're just the top of the line, even if you have the gift of languages, the gift of prophecy, the gift of knowledge, the gift of giving, and you don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. Now, that's pretty much in your face, isn't it? And Paul uses the first person here. He doesn't say, if you don't. He says, if I don't. Read that again. He said, if I don't do this, it doesn't matter. He says, no matter what I do, if I don't have love for God and love for one another, it doesn't matter. Now, if this opening doesn't convince you of the importance and the value of love, you're going to be very resistant to this 40 Days of Love campaign. But if you really believe 1 Corinthians 13 is accurate, and if you believe love is the very center core of who we are, it is the essence of the Christian faith, then it is important that we learn two things. Learn how to love God, and learn how to love one another in a wholesome and healthy way. So we're going to start today, and over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be giving you lots of principles about how to learn to love God and love one another. First thing today that we're going to talk about is the best use of love is relationships. Love does not exist in a vacuum. love must have both a giver and a receiver in order to be effective. God has created us in such a way that we need one another. You know, when I got up this morning, were it not for other people, I could not be here today. Because when I got up early this morning, and I went into the kitchen, and Carol made some coffee, you know what? We didn't grow that coffee. Someone else grew it for us. We didn't make that coffee and refine it. It was done for us. And when I turned on the lights, I don't know how those electricity things work other than I pay the bill. But if somebody hadn't figured that out, I would have been in the dark all morning. And then I went out and picked up the paper. I didn't write that paper. You know, somebody else wrote it for me. And then I got into a car. I didn't make that car. Somebody else made it for me. I don't know how to make a car. I drove on a highway that I did not make. It had not been for literally hundreds of other people that have interacted with me, I would not have been able to come to church this morning. Wouldn't have been able to wear that great-looking tie that I just took off this morning. You see, we need each other. We have been created so that we are interdependent. Some relationships are more important than others. And it always begins with the first commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It begins with our relationship with God. And when we recognize how much God has loved us, and we share that in our communion time this morning, and what He has done for us through Jesus Christ, then we recognize that He has promised eternal life for all of us who believe. Then we recognize immediately that God moves to the top of our relationship pyramid. Now, we know that our love relationships are like this, but at the very center, at the very top, has to be God. And when God is not at the center or at the top of your love pyramid, then things have a way of falling apart. Every one of us, every single one of us, will eventually learn the basic truth that life is about relationships. It's not about our job. It's not about accomplishments. It's not about wealth. It's not about our sports teams. It's about relationships. So why don't we learn that lesson now so that we can get the most out of life? What matters is, do I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and do I love others as myself? Now, if that is true, and of course I believe it is, why do relationships always get the short end of the stick? Why don't we have time for the things that are important? Why don't we have time for the people that we love? You know, it's been kind of interesting as Dick and I have been working with this 40 Days of Love small group campaign. If I had done this campaign 20 years ago, what I would have said is, you can sign up for this campaign, and people would have said, okay, the only night I can't do it is such and such a night, but other six nights I'm fine. Do you know what we're getting now when we ask people to sign up for a 40 Days of Love? The only time I can do it is, and they give me a small window of time. You know why? We're all overstaffed. We're all overworked. We're all overcommitted. We're all overscheduled. I am too. We're all in that same boat. But when we stop and think about it, here's the danger of that. We discover that we're giving first-class allegiance to second-class causes. And when you get overloaded and you get in a hurry, here's what you begin to do. And I don't know if there's such a word as this, but you begin to be relationally skimming. You start skimming off the top in your relationships. And you say, well, you know, I don't have it all. I can't get it all done. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to skip on my relationships. See, I don't really have time to be alone with God. Oh, really? No, I'm just so busy. I don't have time to have a quiet time. I don't have time to go to a small group. I don't have time to go to a Sunday school class. I don't have time to take my wife out to eat. I don't have time to spend time with my kids. I just got to cut back on it. I just don't have time to go out with friends. I don't have time for relationships anymore. And so we start relationally skimming. And I would tell you that's a big mistake, according to God's Word. Because life isn't about the other stuff. Life is about relationships. Make sure that you don't skip and skim on relationships. Now, I know there's things you got to do. You have to get your work done. There's things you have to do. You have to pay your bills. But you know what? 5 years from now, when you look back, you're not going to care about those bills. You're going to care about relationships. 5 years today, you're going to look back and say, what did I do with the relationships that I skimmed on, that I skipped on? And if your relationships aren't loving and developing, life is going to be miserable for you. The second thing is this. The best expression of love. Now, I hope I don't have to keep repeating this over and over the next 40 days. When I'm talking about love, I'm talking about agape love. I'm not talking about romantic love. I'm not talking about Hollywood love. I'm not talking about the mushy stuff. What I'm talking about here is agape love. I'm talking about committed love that says, I'm going to give to you. I'm going to sacrifice for you. I'm going to put you at the center of my life. The best expression of love is what? Time. T-I-M-E. You know, a lot of times we think, yes, relationships are good, but you know, I just got so much other stuff to do. I just don't have time for relationships. You know, I really need to make time in my schedule for relationships. You got it backwards. Relationships are your life, and you make time for everything else. It's not like you put relationships into one more thing that you put in your life. It is your life. Your relationships are what makes life go round. Your job and the other things that you do and your experiences outside of those relationships are peripheral. God didn't put you here for a job. He put you here to learn to love. He put you here to say, learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and learn to love one another as yourself. You spell love T-I-M-E. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, we show love for one another through the actions that we do. Love is just not saying something. Love is not feeling something. Love is something that you do. Now let me ask you a serious question. And I want you to think about the person that you love most in an earthly relationship, whomever that happens to be, spouse, child, parent, friend, whomever. What is the most desired gift that he or she could give to you? What do you want most if they were to say, I want to give you a gift? What do you want most? Now, I'm not a prophet and I can't read minds, but my guess is that most of you would have come up with the same answer. And it wouldn't have been chocolate, or it wouldn't have been diamonds. I think that the most important thing that you would say from the person who loves me most is, I want to spend time with them. Am I right? I want to spend time with them. Now, I appreciate all these other gifts, and they're nice, and they're wonderful, and I'm thankful for them. But you know what I really want? I want to spend time with this person that I love very much. We call that focused attention. It is time. When you give time to someone, it is the greatest gift that you can give. You know why? Because it's non-replaceable. We all have different amounts of energy. We all have different amounts of money. We all have different amounts of talent. We have different amounts of personality. But we all have exactly the same amount of time every week, 168 hours a week. And every time I give an hour of my time to someone, I will never get it back. It's gone. I could give money to you and I could go out and earn other money. I could give you a present of some kind. I could go out and find other presents. But when you give time, it is the single most irreplaceable thing that you have. Once we give it, we can't take it back. And when you give attention to someone, when you give them your time, whether it's your child, your spouse, whether it's your quiet time with the Lord, whether it's a friend or whomever, when you give them time, this is what you are saying to them. You are so important to me that I am giving you the most valuable resource that I have, which is my time. And I'm giving it to you because I want to learn to love you better, whether it's God or a person. I'm giving you this time. It can't be replaced. And in doing so, I want you to know how much I love you, and I want to come into a closer relationship with you. You say all kinds of things when you give people your attention. It's part of your life you'll never get back. That's what your loved ones want. They want to say, I love you, Daddy. Can you come and play with me? They want to say, put the paper down, honey. Let's talk. They're saying to you, let me have your attention. Only you can give them that. And when you give it, what you're saying to them is, I love you. I'm putting your needs ahead of what I have. I'm putting your desires ahead of mine. That's called love. Nothing can compensate for time. Kids don't need more things. They need parents. They don't need more Wii's. They don't need more toys. They don't need more dolls. They need you. I had an experience over 30 years ago. I can still see this as if it happened yesterday. I can literally tell you all about the scene. That's how vivid it was in my mind. When Carol and I first got married, like most people that just get married, you had no money, and so you were scraping to try to survive. And therefore, we started having children, and Carol was home taking care of the kids, and I was working three different jobs trying to survive and make it. And one of the things that I did is I refereed. I always enjoyed sports, and so I was a football referee and a basketball referee. And one night I had a responsibility to go referee a high school football game. And as I was doing that, my little son, Justin, was about 2 or 3, maybe 4 years old. And I can still, to this day, 30 years later, remember, as I was getting ready to put my shirt on and walk out the door, I can remember Justin coming up and taking my hand and saying, Daddy, can't you stay with me tonight? And as I walked out and got in the car and put the key in the ignition, and put it in reverse to go out the driveway, I looked at the window. We had a bay window in the front of the house. There was Justin, about 3 years old or so, with his face pressed up against the window. You know what he was saying? I want you, Daddy. I want you. I don't want more toys. I want you. I want you to come in here and put your arms around me. I never forgot that. And I'm not a perfect father by any stretch of the imagination. But I never forgot that image, and I tried to, for the remaining years, not only of Justin, but for our other family members, our other boys, to give them all the time I possibly could. Because I'm telling you, time with your kids is far more important than money in the bank. And if you don't believe that, talk to a parent whose kids are gone now. It's so much more important. It's relationships. They don't need another video game. They need you to sit down and play with them. Chuck Swindoll says this, busyness destroys relationships. It substitutes shallow frenzy for deep relationships. Busyness feeds the ego. Oh, look how important I am. Look how busy I am. But it starves your relationships. It fills your calendar and fractures your family. The best time to love is now. Not tomorrow, not later, not at the end of this 40 days, not someday, not one day. The best time to love is now. Not soon, now. What do you intend to do with the information you're going to receive over the next 40 days? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. When should we do good? Whenever we have the opportunity. That means now. Don't procrastinate showing love. You can procrastinate on a lot of things in life, but one thing you can never procrastinate on is love. Do it now. Who do you need to show love to today? You're going to be in small groups over the next 40 days. They're going to be challenging you. They're going to be challenging you to get involved with someone that you love and show and learn how to love them in a significant and meaningful way. Who do you need to go home after service today and make a phone call and share a word of encouragement with? Who do you need to write a letter to? Who do you need to make a visit to? Who do you need to apologize to? Who do you need to invite over to your house for a cup of coffee or a barbecue? Many of you who are older remember the 1972 presidential election with George McGovern, who was running against Richard Nixon. George McGovern was a very driven political man by his own admission. His entire life revolved around politics. He had very little time for his family. He was always away. He worked all the time. And then one day in 1994, George McGovern's world crashed. His daughter, who at this time was in her 30s, an adult daughter, his daughter was in Minnesota. She was an alcoholic. And after a night of binge drinking, she wandered out of the bar that she was in, got stuck somehow in a snowbank, and froze to death. George McGovern could not believe it. He was heartbroken by it. And so he went back to her home, and he picked up her diaries. And I'm going to quote some things here in a minute. And while he was reading through her diaries, he discovered lines like this. Her name was Terry. I miss my daddy today. I wish my dad would leave his political causes and spend time with me. But he probably doesn't care about it anyway. George McGovern wrote a book about his experiences of parenting and things that he did right and wrong. And I quote now, and he said, "Show more love to your kids, not by giving them more things, but by spending more time with them, especially as teenagers. No matter what it costs, that is the way to live so that you will have no regrets." And there was one very poignant quote at the end of her diary that said this, "I give everything I have." I'm sorry. This is the end of George McGovern's book. He says, "I would give everything I have, and I mean everything, for one more afternoon with my daughter, Terry, to let her know how much I loved her and to spend one of those happy moments with her that we had so infrequently." I want to recommend today that when you get out of bed in the morning and you get up, you say this very simple prayer. "Lord, today help me to love you more and help me to love the people around me more than I ever have. I'm going to increase my love for you today, God. I'm going to spend some time with you. And I want to love the people around me better, and that means spending time with me. Because that's why you were put here on the earth. If you will do that every day of your life, at the end of your life, as those friends gather around you to say their final goodbyes, you will have no regrets." But when we shut them aside, when we shut God aside, when we say, "I don't need to spend time with him. I don't need to spend time with my family. I don't need relationships. I can do everything myself," you will live with eternal regrets. Father, I love you today. And I admit to you at the very beginning of this journey that I don't love you as much as I need to. And I want you to help open up for me your word that I might love you more. I want to ask that you would give me a deeper desire to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, there are people in my life, relationships, family members, friends, and sometimes I haven't shown them the proper love that I should have, and I apologize and seek forgiveness for that. But I pray that as we begin this journey together, that I might show love to my family, to my friends, to this congregation, to my staff, to the people that I interact with day after day. Help them know that I love them with a pure heart, not for what I can get back, but just so that I can love them. Father, help each one of us in this congregation today to seek, to learn how to love God and love one another. For it is in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Sing with me. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship.